This is the SF Productions Podcast Network. How I Got My Wife to Read Comics, Episode 187. Can a comic collector of 20 plus years get his wife to read them? Will she let him keep them? Learn more in this podcast. Let's go to the comic book lounge with Mindy and Mark.
A trio of bats rounds out the year, along with a dog for Arthur, a tale of harmony, and a visit with Gilgamesh. This is How I Got My Wife to Read Comics for Sunday, January 1st, 2012. Happy New Year. I'm Mark.
And I'm Mindy. Just a reminder, you can go to sfpodcastnetwork.com to get the feed, other SF podcasts and blogs, and you can subscribe via iTunes, where you can leave us a review.
And you can email sfpodcastnetwork@gmail.com, like us at facebook.com/sfppn, follow us on Twitter @sfppn, or call us at 614-321-9737. That's 614-321-9SFP. Well, we have to catch up on 2 weeks of books because we were off last week. So let's start with three Bat books from last week. Batman Incorporated Leviathan Strikes by Morrison, Burnham, and Stewart.
Okay, before you go on, Mark.
Yes.
I just want to point out how often Leviathan is creeping into pop culture lately.
Yeah.
We have it here. It was in another comic book that I think we're talking about later.
Right.
It's been in the TV show Supernatural.
Mm.
It's like really weird. It's like suddenly everybody got this idea to use Leviathan.
Big in the zeitgeist right now.
Exactly.
So we have two stories that wrap up the current series, which was interrupted by the new DCU, not a reboot, and also prepping us for the next series coming up. First off, Stephanie Brown returns. We know that she was sent to the UK because that's what they did in the Batgirl book. And now we know why she was sent there. She was sent to infiltrate a school for young assassins, which I think is, in my opinion, is a reference to TV episodes of the 60s Batman series. They did a two-parter in the UK where they had something certainly not as violent as this, but the idea of young girls were in this school for crime.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Interesting.
That's Morrison all over. So she ends up in this blood ritual, but fights her way out just as Bruce arrives. Question here is she still around post-reboot? Probably, because the Bat continuity really hasn't changed all that much.
Okay, so though, her dad, right, is
right.
Clue Master
right.
or something. Has he shown up in the reboot at all?
No.
Okay.
We haven't seen, and in here, they indicate he's dead.
Right.
So,
well, didn't everybody think he was dead, but he wasn't really
right,
or something like
right.
that? So we don't really know if he's dead or not.
We don't really.
But it doesn't matter because it's been rebooted.
Exactly.
So
will we learn why she stopped being Batgirl, assuming she's still around? Did she give it up once Barbara Gordon was cured? Or was she Batgirl at all?
I just don't see how there would have been time for her to have been Batgirl.
It'd be hard to shoehorn it in. Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, unless she was Batgirl for all of 10 minutes.
Right. So the second story is back to the weird Morrison writing.
And this is where I kind of phased out.
So Bruce, Dick, Tim, and Jason, and big question mark there, why Jason's involved, are in this trap where we jump back and forth in time, Bruce gets drugged, we hear information from his other agents of Batman Incorporated.
Were they actually getting killed?
Well, and does it count?
Yeah. Yawn.
Well, Batwing can't be dead because Batwing currently has his own title. So we learn in the end that Talia is Leviathan. We have a long review of the story so far. And some pinups, because you have to justify that $6.99 cost. Yikes.
You didn't have to buy it.
I know. I have to say I'd rather have Leviathan be an actual new villain and not just, oh, it's Talia.
Well,
Yeah. I really enjoy it when they get into new concepts. And speaking of new concepts, Batman number 4 by Snyder and Capullo. Of course, Bruce gets out of the owl's death trap.
It was exploding in the right. end of the last issue.
Yeah. So we learn new things about young Bruce, that right after his parents' death, he's convinced of this major conspiracy because he's like, well, Joe Chill didn't just happen to kill my parents. So he tracks down what he thinks is the Court of Owls, because he's convinced they did it, and finds nothing. And over the years, he's apparently investigated several times, and he's now convinced himself that the court never existed. But now he's reopening the investigation because of what's going on.
Well, do you think he actually convinced himself the court did not exist? Or he just wants to believe it does, and so that's why he continually goes back and looks, because secretly he does believe it.
Because he needs to know why his parents were killed.
Right.
Hmm. So in the sewers, he's attacked. He ends up in this labyrinth with the court looking on, apparently. So Snyder has been introducing these new concepts to the Bat continuity. And frankly, as I was just noting, it's been a long time coming. The idea of, oh, it's not just, it's Joker again. It's Two-Face again. Blah, 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 blah. I'd really like to see new villains. And frankly, there have been very few new Bat villains since, like, Bane.
Right. But in a way that harkens to the reboot itself, in that, you know, part of the reboot is people were so tired of the same stories
right.
over and
right.
over again.
But this is one of the few titles that's actually taking advantage of that.
At least one of the few Bat titles, yes.
And ironically, they're doing it in a continuity that supposedly hasn't changed all that much.
Right.
Nightwing number 4 by Higgins and McCarthy. So Dick and Babs are together again. She's on the case of these missing microchips and a shapeshifter that grabbed them. He's still on the Haley Circus case. And he's with Raya, who's also from the circus. At least for the moment, he's with her. And Babs shows up, you know, kind of awkward.
I love that when the two circus guys says, well, he's got a type, doesn't he?
Yeah. So they team up to stop the sale of the microchips. And of course, the shapeshifter ends up turning into Nightwing. So there's a fight between two Nightwings. And we have the, which one does Batgirl hit with the Batarang?
The cuter one.
The cuter one, apparently. So they battle it all out. In the end, Raya and Babs have this talk. And we get an indication that Raya may be leaving.
I kind of thought less that she would be leaving and more that she just wouldn't be with Dick anymore.
Right.
You know, Dick kind of was in a direction of taking it seriously.
And she's not.
And she didn't want to do that.
She made it very clear.
And then Babs is like saying, oh, Dick really cares for you.
Ooh,
well,
then I'm definitely
then
better.
Definitely I'm backing yeah. out, you know.
So Dick figures out that the quote from Haley about the heart of the circus is actually literal. And he goes to the circus and finds this thing inside the big top and finds this book of names, including his own name. Frankly, in terms of team-ups, this is a team-up I want. I want to see Dick and Babs as a team-up title.
Batgirl and Nightwing.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Aquaman number 4 by Johns and Rice. So Johns continues to make Aquaman interesting. We see Arthur and Mira in the trench, where they find this race that actually predates Atlantis. And because there's all this inbreeding, apparently, over all these years, they're dying off as a race. Mira wants to destroy them because of the danger they represent, and Arthur wants to save them. In the end, he has to destroy them to save Earth, to save the people of Earth.
Because otherwise they'd all be eaten.
Exactly.
Food. Food.
So the local authorities apologize afterward and say,
Sort of.
Maybe Aquaman's not as bad as they thought he was. And Arthur ends up getting a dog, which I don't quite understand how a dog's going to work.
Underwater?
Yeah. Well, with very few exceptions, unless the dog has superpowers, it really doesn't work very well for a superhero to have a pet.
Well, we'll see how it goes.
Because the superhero has to be gone a lot. Who's going to take care of the dog?
The kid. I don't know.
Yeah. And at the end, we see a preview of next year's major storyline, where Aquaman's going to try to find out who actually sank Atlantis in the first place. But again, I am enjoying the Aquaman title, which is something I could never have said before now.
Just out of curiosity, do you know how it is selling? Because it is good.
I haven't seen the numbers, but I'm sure it's doing fairly well because I think John's has such a huge audience to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
Angel in Face, season 9, number 5 from Dark Horse by Gage and Noto. So Harmony returns. We in this cute one-and-done story. Harmony, of course, is now a vamp celebrity because the world knows about...
Right, and she had a reality show as a vampire.
And now she's on Britain's Got Talent, apparently, mm-hmm. as one of the judges. So she hires Angel to find out who stole her sex tape. There's lots of pop culture references in here. Plus, an appearance by David Tennant. Just a cameo, but he's there.
Oh.
And of course, we find out that it's the personal assistant that did it. And surprisingly, she ends up forgiving him for doing it.
Well, and, it's because he loved her.
Right.
And she doesn't have to love him back.
Yeah, because he's a demon.
She adoration.
Yeah. So in the next issue is the next major storyline, and Drusilla is going to return in there.
Mm-hmm.
So enjoying the Angel in Faith title.
It's not selling nearly as well as Buffy.
Although I think it's a better title right now.
I do too.
Unwritten, number 32.5 from Vertigo by Carrie Gross and Ormston. And so this is a continuation of these half issues where we're learning more backstory while the main storyline continues in the integer titles.
Yes.
So we learn more about the Cadre's Enforcer. We go back in time where he becomes the advisor to Gilgamesh, who is the protagonist of the first real story. The first written story that exists is about Gilgamesh. So he sets Gilgamesh on this monster hunt where he has to defeat this monster because that's how the story goes, that Gilgamesh always defeats the monsters. And we learn that the monster can only survive by hearing stories. That's its nourishment. Because it's not matter and it's not spirit. It's a combination of the two.
Right.
And because of that, when people who are matter say these stories that are spirit, that combination is something that the monster can actually ingest.
And the one guy wants the monster dead because I get the feeling that's the only reason he has his immortality or something.
That's what it sounds like.
Yes.
So Gilgamesh refuses to kill the monster. He ends up cursing the enforcer instead, cutting off his right hand.
It's always the right hand.
Always the right hand. Gilgamesh, in the end, decides, as a warning, he needs to set the story down in stone, which is the birth of writing stories down. And this is really where the Cadre begins. This is like the birth of it, because until then, there weren't written stories.
I thought it was interesting the way they worked some of the stuff into the plot. Like, oh, they actually use marks to represent things,
right.
And numbers.
Yeah.
You know?
And so there was writing before this, but it was all for accounting purposes, essentially, for taxing and things like that and keeping inventory. And it was all based on numbers, and no one had actually gotten around to doing much of a written language and had not bothered to actually write down any of these stories. They were all oral tradition until then. I was a little worried about these half issues, mm-hmm. thought it would water things down, but I don't think that's the case.
No.
I really think this is adding much more to the main storyline. And the fact that they are using other artists for these means it's not going too many directions at once and not keeping up the quality.
Right.
I've been very impressed with this so far. All right. Before we get out of here, it's time to play our America's fastest growing new game show.
Guess who's on the cover of Entertainment Weekly? Are you ready, Mark?
I am ready.
Okay, I'm going to push the button.
Okay. TV related?
No.
Movie related?
Yes.
Is it one movie?
Yes.
Is it a movie that's just coming out?
It's not out yet.
It's not out yet. Okay, so it's coming up. Is it genre related?
Sort of. Yeah, you could call it a genre.
Okay,
movie.
Is the genre supernatural related?
No.
Is it horror related?
No.
Is it superhero related?
No.
Is it mystery related?
Yes.
Mystery.
Mystery.
And is it a movie based on a book?
Yes.
Is it the girl with the dragon tattoo?
It is. Now, who is the actress?
Oh, no.
We've talked about this on the podcast before.
I know, but I can never remember the name.
Because it's a weird name.
Yeah. It's the protagonist from Girl with the Dragon Tattoo.
Right, and the character's name is Liz Salander.
Ah. Okay. Liz Salander, okay.
But the actress is...
Oh, I thought that was the... I said no. That was the actress's name.
No, that's the character.
I don't know. Mary.
Hey, that's close. Rooney Mara?
Oh, okay. Rooney Mara.
Rooney Mara.
Something like that.
Yeah. Anyway, you just saw a preview for it.
Yeah.
That's probably the only reason you remember it.
I don't memorize the actress's name of actresses I've never heard of until now.
She would be very disappointed in you.
Yeah, well, maybe they do a better job in their ads to play up her name.
Why? She has a dragon tattoo.
Exactly, and that's all I need to know. So, want to remind you to go to sfpodcastnetwork.com to get the feed, other SF podcasts and blogs, including Mindy's Comic Today blog and my blog where I'm talking about the Star Trek animated series. You can subscribe via iTunes, and please leave us a review.
You can email sfpodcastnetwork@gmail.com, like us at facebook.com/sfppn, follow us on Twitter @sfppn, call us at 614-321-9737. That's 614-321-9SFP.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Bye.
Bye-bye.